can be seated. And please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 13, verse 22, as we continue in our study. Last week that we saw that after Jephthah had a great victory over the Ammonites, that civil war broke out in the country of Israel, the nation of Israel. And the next judges were concentrating on keeping civil war from happening again by having lots of children, intermarrying them throughout the tribes, and emphasized then that what really would have been important to concentrate on is having a fear of God, since it was the lack of the fear of God that had brought the oppression of the Ammonites in the first place. And as long as we have a fear and walk with God, then actually everything else kind of takes care of itself. And so the people went back into sin and idolatry, and that brought the oppression of the Philistines, which is going to be the topic of our discussion in the next couple studies that we have in Judges. And so we saw that God chose a husband and wife to tell them that he was going to give them a son that was going to be named Samson. And so the angel has come and told them these things, and that the son is to be raised as a Nazarite. We covered that last week, what a Nazarite was, somebody that set apart their life for service to God by not drinking to drunkenness and allowing their hair to grow long, which was, again, just a sign to the culture that this person is wanting to dedicate his life to God. And with that background, we'll see the last verses of Judges 13 that we covered last week. And Manoah, the husband, said to his wife, "We shall surely die, because they were seeing the angel of the Lord that was telling him this, because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands." And we covered last week that the grain and burnt offering were a fellowship peace offering with God. They wanted to have peace with God. "And nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." It's pretty hard to have a son that's going to deliver the nation of Israel from oppression if the messenger that just told you that's going to kill you. So the wife just explains to her husband, you're not understanding. This was the Lord, and he wants to have peace and fellowship with us. He's made a promise to us that he's going to keep. We're going to have a child. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. And at Mahanadan, which is the city of Dan, he's from the tribe of Dan, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, between Zorah and Eshtol. And this is, the life of Samson really is quite a lesson on the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this man that is going to do things that are absolutely, totally impossible because of the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon him to gift him to be able to do the impossible. And again, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's in us. He wants to come upon us. He wants us to be available. God wants us to make ourselves available for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and for us to be thinking the God of this universe can do the impossible in ways that we can't even comprehend. And again, just like the testimony of God can do the impossible, and at 11 o'clock at night, just randomly have this woman knock on Patty's door to bring an object lesson to the kids about something that who knows what impact that's going to have on their life. You know, the announcement that we had during announcement time. Just impossible things. Some are small. This didn't require a lot of muscle or anything, you know, that we're going to see with Samson. It was just God orchestrating by some people willing to disciple some young ladies into fearing God as they grow in this very licentious world, to give their lives to God and instead of demand. God says, "I'm going to put an exclamation mark on that. By the power of my Holy Spirit, I'm going to put an exclamation mark on that with this object lesson of a lady living in the world that knocks on the door and all disheveled." And so Judges chapter 14, verse 1, "Now Samson went down to Timnah." And Timnah is, it's not on your map. You should all have our Judges map. It's over there on the table. And you can see Zorah down in Dan, close to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Timnah's not on your map, but it's like right next to Zorah, just south of Zorah in the Philistine area. And basically what Samson grew up on the border with between Israel, the tribe of Dan, and the Philistines, and went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And so it would be It would be like somebody living in San Diego saying, hey, I'm going to go down to Tijuana. That's basically what he did. Now, for those of you that have ever been to Mexico, Tijuana, you have to have something wrong with you to just want to go to Tijuana as a young man. And when I was in the Navy and our ship docked in San Diego, hey, let's go to Tijuana. And it wasn't to just go get to know the Mexicans. It was because they're a different culture. That whole city is made to be a Navy, next to a Navy town, and get the military dollars and everything else there. And it was just a place to cause trouble. I would imagine that it was exactly the same way. And Samson heads down there to his version of Tijuana. So he went up and told his father and his mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, meaning the Jews, of all the tribes of Israel? Is there not a woman in all the tribe of Israel or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. The title of today's study is going to be, She Pleases Me Well. Oh, really? That's what we're going to find out. Oh, really? And we're going to spend a lot of time on all the scriptural ramifications of this. We're going to have some parallel passages, and for those that have the notes in your bulletin, you can look in those, or we're going to be skipping around a little bit in the scriptures. But let's turn to Exodus chapter 34, verse 12. And I want to emphasize something here, too, that Samson has been raised. He is now a man. He's been raised as a Nazarite. His parents said, hey, we were visited by the angel of the Lord. God came here and visited us, told us about you. He said you're going to be used to help alleviate the oppression of the Philistines. The mom's going to say, I never even drank wine for any reason, fermented or not, because God wanted me to, from the womb, treat you as a Nazarite. And you're to be raised to not ever cut your hair, because that means you're dedicating your life to the service of God and never get drunk. And we can do that sometimes as parents, just say, there's this and this requirement for being a Nazarite. But then the devil works on people and says, well, what about this, this, and this? We don't want our children to just grow up to not be drunkards. We don't want our children to grow up to just be skipping church, attendance. We don't want them to just go to church, just not get drunk, not do smoke or drink or chew or run around with girls that do. You know, that's not, if we make that emphasis to our children without the emphasis being a really heartfelt compassion for the Lord God, where He is always watching and what His law says, what His word says to guide and direct us, it becomes the heartfelt passion of the believer. Because that's, by definition, that's what we are, is we're believers. The Holy Spirit's in us, and we know that God's law is for our own good. But see, something was missing in Samson's upbringing. He goes, okay, I won't cut my hair until later on when he, gets his eyes put out. I'm not going to cut my hair, I won't get drunk. But I'm going to go next door to the Philistines, and I'm going to go find a girl that pleases me well. And he didn't care. The law of God was very clear, I'm sure. I'm sure he knew Exodus 34:12. Where God had told Moses to tell the Jews before they go into the promised land, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant, which, by the way, marriage is a covenant, with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. You're walking along. Snare has that connotation. You're walking along thinking you're safe, and then all of a sudden a noose, you stepped into a trap, a snare. And bam, your foot, and a noose goes around your leg, and a tree whips you up in the air, and you're hanging upside down, and you wait for somebody to come and kill you. See, we walk in this world thinking we're okay. We walk thinking it's okay to play around in the world at times. I've seen it happen. And all of a sudden, a snare gets you, and you're hanging, and you've messed your life up. Verse 13, but you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, don't tolerate any of this worldly garbage. For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifices to their gods, and one of them invites you and you eat of his sacrifice. If you let these other idol-worshipping people around in your midst, then they're going to say, hey, come on over for dinner. Well, I got to have some friendship evangelism with them. And then they say, well, let's worship an idol. Let's watch this video. Let's do this. Let's do that. That's abomination to God. Well, I don't want to offend you by saying no. And pretty soon you're snared. Because you're just tolerating the world to get in your mind. It does the same thing in your mind it does in the world's mind. It corrupts you, destroys you. And you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molded gods for yourselves. So God was very clear. You Jews are not to marry the pagan women that are next to you, and you Jewish girls are not to marry the pagan men that are next to you. And Samson knew that. So why is he in Timnah goofing off with the girls of the Philistines? And back to Judges chapter 14, verse 2, but we're going to go to 1 Peter 3 in just a second just to remember what he said. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter 3. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah for the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. And I have seen a woman in Timnah. So what did he see in her that he didn't see in the Jewish women? Because his parents said, what do you see in her? Isn't there a single woman in all the nation of Israel that you, a separated to God, deliverer of the nation of Israel, told by God before you were born that you were going to be sent? Isn't there some? What do you see in this woman? Well, let's first of all look in 1 Peter chapter 3 what he should have seen in the nation of Israel women that would have been obedient to the Word of God, because 1 Peter 3 kind of lays out what a virtuous woman is in God's eyes. The kind of wife that Samson should have wanted to get. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste. And this is going to be what I'm going to emphasize to you, is chaste conduct accompanied by fear. I put in your notes the Strong's definition for that word chaste, which means hagnos, properly clean, i.e. figuratively innocent, modest, and perfect. So basically, what God's word is saying is that a godly wife is a wife who has an inner beauty that isn't flaunting like the girls in Tijuana and the girls in, you know, outside the Navy base in the Philippines and all the other places that I watched many a man get destroyed while I was in the Navy. And so they're a woman that's not, that's chaste, doesn't appear, not is not flaunting themselves for the attraction of men, trying to be a Philistine woman to just snag somebody in through the lust of the eyes. A woman, a godly woman, is not fishing for the lust of guys' attentions. And, you know, this is an encouragement for everybody here. If you fear God here as a woman, then that's what you're gonna want to let that be your mission in life. I'm going to be a chaste woman, because if you keep yourself chaste, you're gonna find yourself snagging a godly man. If you find yourself being like a Philistine, you're going to snag a Samson. Or worse, actually, much worse. Verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Like today, let's look at it as a car analogy. You know, that car pleases me well. Why? Why does that car please you well? Because the commercial for Madison Avenue has this beautiful woman that comes out of the passenger seat from the guy that owns the car. They're not stupid. See, Madison Avenue understands the human thinking in the brain. And it's selling sensuous lust and flesh all day long because they know it sells. They know it can snag us. But the Holy Spirit can set us free from that snagging if we just simply fear God. And we say, I don't care what the outside looks like. I know the woman doesn't come with the car. I know they're just trying to snare me. I know I am a believer. My mind has been renewed by God. I don't want to listen to that. I want to check on the Consumer Reports and find out how long is it before that car is going to clean out my wallet. And how often is it going to get me to the place that I want to get to and the time that I need to get there. But most people don't think that. They just it pleases me well. In fact, it was even having a discussion with the grandchildren about it. They were talking about how lame the GMC logo. Now, I'm sorry, GMC, don't sue me. It's just your problem. It's just what your clientele is looking at. How lame the GMC logo is compared to the Chevy logo. And it's just like, why would somebody want to get a GMC logo? I mean, the Chevy logo looks so nice. And I go, kids, listen to this. Those plastic pieces are probably $5. And you know, the people that really do all that design, they sit there, this design is going to suck people in to buy a $50,000 truck because that $5 piece looks so pleasing to the eyes. And we have to realize this is what they're doing to us. There's people that get paid big dollars to find out how they can get us to lust after something that we're going to go spend money on. And so, many fools purchased a beautiful car, truck, not looking under the hood. Everybody's impressed until the engine blows next week, and then you're a has-been, and it doesn't really matter. And you don't want to do that. You girls don't want to do that with guys. You guys don't want to do that with girls. You want to look for that spiritually solid guy if you're a girl, that spiritually solid girl if you're a guy. You want to wait for it. You want to trust God for it. It'll save you much heartache. And we're going to see a man that has great heartache in his life. And his girlfriend also suffers as a result of what she was doing. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You know, what would you rather have? A woman that's going to be faithful and chaste and honoring to God and searching the scriptures with you, etc., etc.? Or are you going to be wanting something that's just a lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes kind of situation? For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham and calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Going back to Judges 14:2. So he went up to his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. And his father and mother said to him, Is there no other woman among the daughters and the brethren or among my people that you must go get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. And just summarizing, here's my speculation of the rest of the conversation. To put it in context with what we see goes on for the next chapter. This is what I'm thinking he said. Dad, the women in Israel are modest in their dress. They are reserved and don't flirt with me like this hot Philistine chick. I really like what I see in the way she dresses. I know God's law says that I am not supposed to marry her, but at least I'm going to marry her before we get together. Doesn't God want me to be happy? And you know what? I say that, and I've seen those kind of attitudes in people professing to know Jesus over the 40 years of my life. Doesn't God want me to be happy? I know God's law says this, but, and you know, every single time they violate the Word of God because they think God wants them to be happy, their God wants them to be happy, their lives turn into misery. See, the thing is God does want us to be happy. He's created the manufacturer's instruction manual. That's this. It says, I created you. You're in a fallen condition. You're all messed up in the head with lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, pride of life. I'm trying to spare you of all those things. The way I'm trying to spare you is I'm giving you the direction of this is the way it was supposed to be in the beginning when man feared me. You live like that, you're going to save yourself a whole lot of heartache in this life. And if we just obey it, we'll have less struggles in our life. If we turn away from it, bad things happen, as we're going to see with her. Let's go a couple more parallel passages, actually. James chapter 1, verse 13. You know, Samson didn't appreciate God's law. He thought he could handle the temptations of the world. James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. He'll allow temptation to come into your life through the wicked one, through your flesh. But God himself is not wanting you to disobey him, is what it's saying. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Mom and Dad, you know, could have said if James had been written, hey, that's not a perfect, that gift of that woman over there in the Philistine country is not a gift from God. And by the way, if it's not a gift from God, what is it? It's a gift from the devil. To destroy, to deceive, to rip you off. And one more, John chapter 1, verse 25. And we see so much death comes as a result of Samson. You know, the wages of sin is death, and going after. James chapter 1, verse 15. And then, when desire has conceived, it gives forth the sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, every good gift. Death came because he rejected the wisdom of God. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Let's turn back to Judges chapter 14, verse 3, and we're going to see how quickly Samson's ideal world passes away. Again, the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. And we're going to see his little world quickly dissolves, and he would have been so much better off to just seek God in ways other than not getting drunk. But his father and his mother did not know that it was the Lord when he said, get me, for she pleases me. Get me her for a wife, because she pleases me. But his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So this is a tough one to teach. Because the parents are probably like any of you parents that have watched your children decide they want to go off into the world and play in the world. Again, drugs, alcohol, immorality, all the other stuff that so many parents in America that grow up, raise their children in the church, and all of a sudden they see that somehow a kid at school or something taught in the colleges or university all of a sudden tweaks their brain, and all of a sudden they're off in the world and the parents agonize. And these parents were agonized. We raised you to serve God. What happened to you? And God says, it's okay. It's okay, I'm going to use this. I mean, it's a mess, but I'm going to use it. Now, here's the problem with it. If any of you are sitting there, the devil right now is saying, see, it's okay to sin. God will use your sin. Well, God is sovereign. And we see Samson ends well. It appears that he regrets what he's done. He serves God. He loves him. And all things work out together for good for those that love God. But how tragic his life is. For anybody that's sitting there going, oh, I'm going to keep on sinning, because God says right here, he used it. He was going to allow this to happen for some other bigger purpose. Okay, we're going to find out. His eyes get taken out by the Philistines, and he dies a young man. In other words, the Bible is also very clear. God can use sin to his glory in some ways, but you always suffer. Sin always brings suffering into your life. Verse 5, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyard of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. A literal lion came running right up. I'm going to eat you. And he must have been ahead of his parents or behind his parents. And this lion comes out. Unfortunately, he doesn't realize that the spiritual lion is already after him and devoured him. is working to devour on him. Because the Bible says the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking around seeking who he can devour. We can't see that one. It's just as deadly, more deadly than the ones that you can see. And when I was in Kenya at the game farm, we were trying to look for lions and rhinos and everything else. And I was looking at this massive grassland off on the right-hand side and just like, man, there's those and there's those. And then I went like this and the lion was not even 10 yards away on the hill next to the Jeep. And I just went like this. And I had my window open and everything. And the lion went, So fortunately, he must have eaten something recently. He decided not to jump in and take us all out. But Samson, he verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And again, this is a miracle. You can't do that. The human body doesn't have enough strength to just take this lion and it jumped at him and, just grabbed his neck and started literally tearing him apart and stopping from being injured himself. Now, I love, first time I ever heard this taught as a young believer in San Diego, Mike McIntosh, Calvary Chapel. I'll never forget this, and I'm going to leave it with you, too. He said, sir, now you guys are all thinking that he's like Mr. Buff, those American guys that just buff up their whole life to just win some award as the most muscular guys in the country and even the world. There's world-class muscle builders. And he goes, I don't think that that's... I think we're going to get up there and we're going to find out. And this is what he said. We're going to get up there to heaven and meet Samson. And go, oh, you're Samson? You look like Don Knox. And which is Barney Fife for your young ones. It's an old show that kind of a weakling kind of comedian actor. Because it wasn't him. It wasn't his buffness. It was the power of God, and we can prove that later on when he's pushing down the Philistine temple. It's not humanly possible by any muscle mass to be able to push down a temple. It was the Lord God. And we have to just really read that into this. This is not man. This is God deciding, even despite the fallenness of Samson, God has such a compassion upon his people Israel that he says, you Philistines are done messing with my Jewish people. And actually, the reason why you're messing with them is I've judged them because they're so sinful, and this is the best I could find, this Samson guy. And I'm going to use him, and he's going to deliver my people from your oppression. And it's much better to be empowered by the Holy Spirit while you're obedient to him than to be empowered by the Holy Spirit when you're in disobedience, because God will use somebody in disobedience and the power of his Spirit if he's wanting to accomplish his goal, but it's so much more rewarding if you're walking with him. Verse 7, then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Now, what do you think they talked about? Think about the next Bible study they're going to go to? How they're going to reach out to spread the gospel of the Yahweh, the creator of the universe, and his Ten Commandments to the Philistine people? You think they talked about that? And Juanita and I have etched in our rings Psalm 34:3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now, that's what, again, you single people, if you really want to serve God, you want to live an enjoyable married life, then let that be what you're talking about during your dating time. How are we going to magnify the Lord together? Because that's what God has called us to do. And if you're not both saying, yes, let us magnify the Lord together because we're both wanting to do that, because as you're growing closer to Jesus over the years, you're going to grow closer to each other and enjoy life. Oh, no, I bet the talk was a little bit more like we see in Proverbs 6:20, where Solomon is warning his son to not be like him, actually, in certain ways. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you're out on the road in Timnah, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp. The law of God is a lamp. It's a light. It's a law of light. It reproves of instruction are the way of life to keep you what? From the evil woman. You girls can put in there the evil man. They're both are out there. From the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty. Again, the outward appearance. She pleases me well. Don't lust after her beauty in your heart. Nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. In this case, blind, eyes poked out, blind mockery of the Philistine people. And an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not get burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife, or in the case of Samson, or to a godless woman. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. So I think that's what they're talking about. Again, the Bible's not really clear, but I bet you she was a seductress. Oh, Samson, just you come here and you become my husband and all the things we're going to be able to do. In her mind, as she's a servant of the devil, Satan, because she's worshiping idols, she's destroying a man of God. And I've seen that happen. I've seen it deliberately happen in people's lives, where the person was simply wanting to destroy a Christian man, Christian girl. Again, going back to Judges chapter 14, after some time, he went down, talked with the woman. She pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hand, went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So the father went down to the woman, and, you know, in the culture of those days, and even today in parts of the third world, today it's very common that the dads cut the deal. You know, dad to dad, cut the deal. How much? What's it going to cost for this wedding arrangement, et cetera, et cetera? So he's sending the dad, okay, you know, I want her. I don't care. I don't care what Consumer Report says. I want it. I don't care what the Word of God says. And Samson gave a feast there for a young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. So he goes down, hey, I'm throwing a wedding party. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And so the Philistines go, yeah, we're coming too. Now, again, if he's not being disobedient about his Nazarite vow, he's not drinking, but who knows? We find out that he didn't stop his Nazarite vow and his hair length until the very end, but he might have compromised and been throwing a party, and all of a sudden 30 guys are there along with him. Then Samson said to him, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, 7 day wedding party, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And he said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. Yeah, we can solve a Jewish riddle. That was kind of dumb right there. I wouldn't want to solve a Jewish riddle. I think that I could. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. In other words, for 3 days, we're going to find out that from day one they hound his wife. Tell us, you get the answer to the riddle from your husband. They started from day one. But she wasn't able to. And for 3 days they're coming up through their own wisdom with proposed answers to the riddle. All of them are failing. And at 3 days they've exhausted all their mental facilities to be able to answer the riddle. And so for day 4, 5, 6, and 7, they're just twiddling their thumbs going, what are we going to do? Because we haven't got this. But they're not just twiddling their thumbs. They're hounding the wife every single day. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your family house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Again, we've been emphasizing through Judges how fickle people are, right? Now, these are friends of the husband, of the father and the bride, and they're invited to this extravagant party that's being put on by Samson. And now they're saying, you're going to make us have to give away our linen garments to this guy. We'll kill you. Oh, so much for a close friendship. And that's the way the world is. And when a Christian marries into the world, stand by. Because that's the way the world is. So, then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. I'm going to try and embellish on this. You only hate me and you do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father and my mother, so why should I explain it to you? And the answer all of us guys know is because she's crying. She's questioning our love for her. And what are we going to do but just tell her so that it's not questioned anymore? And that's what he does. Now, she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it happened on the 7th day that he told her. He finally told her because she pressured him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. Many Christian men and women get married based on eye candy issues, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, only to find out very shortly after, I mean, they're not even 7 days into their marriage, to find out very shortly afterwards, complete betrayal to the world. And again, for all you young single people, I'm actually kind of emphasizing this because I love you, because I care for you. And actually, what I really do is I know that God loves and cares for you so much more than I can even comprehend. And as His ambassador, I'm sharing with you the things that He says about His love for you, that He'd want to spare you. Because again, this is what happens, complete betrayal. Wendy and I have watched many, many people agonize over the unfaithfulness of a partner. I heard a story yesterday from a guy that was telling me about how one time, as a pastor, he just noticed, he was an assistant pastor, he knows the pastor, the wife was just, again, not being chaste. And he felt it like it was to the point that through other discussions, it was just stumbling some of the guys in the church and said to the pastor, I hate to come and tell you this and everything, but I just have to. I mean, could you talk to your wife and just maybe encourage her to be a little bit more chaste in a group? And Pastor says, absolutely not. I'm going to do that. That's her thing. And if we've got a bunch of men perverts around here, who cares? That's their problem, not my wife's problem. But see, it was kind of a blatant, it was a very blatant issue with the woman. So why is the woman out shopping? In a way, see, the thing is they're taking the ways of the world and shopping. You know what ended up happening is that woman left her husband for another guy that she shopped for. And all the chaos that happened as a result of that. So is there wisdom in us knowing what we're going to be doing and how we're portraying ourselves? And so, much unfaithfulness, betrayal, associated with the world getting into our lives. Now again, I don't know these people. I just heard this story. And it could be they're both saved. Saved people can get deceived by the world and by the devil Satan and destroy their life. They can. Because they just adopt the things of the world instead of listening to the Word of God. So the men of the city said to him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. If you hadn't been working on my wife for all these days, that's why she was crying. She was devoted to you. I thought she loved me. I thought she loved me and she betrayed me to you guys. Well, again, the Lord uses it because he now has to pay 30 changes of clothes, so... Verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon, which if you look at your map, it's down the coast a little bit, went jogging down the coast to Ashkelon, and he killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, gave the changes of clothes to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. So he dumped his wife that he loved so much and left her there in town, goes back to his parents' home, and after killing 30 guys of the Philistines to keep his part of the deal. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. So much for great loyalty, right? I have seen some really short marriages. I've never seen one that didn't last 7 days. And why? Because what did it start out on? Lust. And lust never endures. It promises and it never delivers. It promises freedom and gives you slavery. It destroys. Chapter 15, verse 1. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room." But her father would not permit him to go in. He just gave her to his best man. And he comes with a goat. Why is he coming with a goat? He's actually now treating his wife that he abandoned because he was so ticked and just got done killing 30 guys. So he's really kind of bringing a goat. I'm paying for her. He's now treating her like a prostitute. Making a payment. I lust. I want to see my wife. Her father said, "I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead." Better what? "Here's my virtuous daughter." No. "She cooks better." No. "Isn't she better for your lust, Samson?" And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put the torch between each pair of the tails. So, catch a fox. 300 foxes. That's a miracle. I don't know. It doesn't say how he did it. He could have snared them. That's still quite a deal to snare enough foxes to have 300 of them. And if he chased them all down, then that would have been good to see. And then he just has the wisdom to tie their tails together, and I don't know how you do that either, and stick a torch, and then these foxes are just going to go, "Hey, you're burning me, and they're going to run all around and burn the entire crop down for the Philistines. And they're watching Safeway and QFC and Albertsons all burn down, all of them, in their whole village. Guess what? You're not eating this very much this next year. So they're ticked. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go and the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the stalks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves, those take years and years before they even produce fruit. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife, because the dad took his wife and gave her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Again, great loyalties, compassion, love. The world loves to love one another. Yeah, so quickly bringing death. So, how did this start? Oh, she bats her eyes and seduces the Israeli man that's new in town. And what did it get her? Death. Samson, she really is flirtatious. She really likes me. She appreciates me. Wow, so she's a foreigner. Death, destruction. That's a very bad ending. Samson said to them, "Since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease." So he attacked them hip and thigh, which is a euphemism for violently. Absolute. It went crazy on him. Hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etham. So, wow. And we're not done. Do you think Samson should have learned his lesson? He should have. Just all the chaos. He should have learned his lesson. He doesn't really learn his lesson. Is there, as you listen to the Word of God, for any of you out there that the Holy Spirit's telling me I should really be careful, are you going to learn your lesson? Actually, what I'm asking is, are you going to allow Samson's lesson to be your lesson to spare you a lesson? Because we can, that was his lesson. I want to have my lesson. That's kind of crazy to go make your own lesson when you can learn that the lesson of the Word of God, that God gave us this story about Samson because he is wanted for thousands of years for people to understand. In our service to God, which is what he was supposed to do, he is calling us to holiness. He's calling us to obedience for our own good and for the good of the witness that we have. Now, I'd imagine a lot of the Philistines weren't saying, we really think the God of Samson and the Jews is the better God to serve. Do you think a whole lot of them were being, I want to go serve the Jewish God as a result of watching Samson? See, he could have grown up serving God, and God could have used him in a different way that would have actually convicted the aliens that were around them to maybe believe in God. And the same thing is true for us, is that we can live our life in a way that glorifies him, or we can live a life through the grace and mercy that God gives us as a child of God to still love him, go to heaven, but we can mess up our life and mess up the lives of others. And he's calling us to believe and trust in him. So, she pleases me well. Oh, really? I think she would have probably rather pleased somebody else instead of Samson, as the story went. We are to conduct our lives on this earth in the fear of God, not with the lust of the eyes. You men, go find yourself a godly woman. You single men, go find yourself a godly woman. And the Bible has given us clear direction on what you're looking for if you do. And the obedience to God will give you a life of free of many and many heartaches that would otherwise come if you look elsewhere into the things of the world, because the world brings death and destruction and God brings life. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, that is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And God, as we live in such a sensuous, lustful world, I pray that you would help your people, God, especially here in this room, to truly see the world for what it is, to take off the happy mask and to see the snarly demons behind the attitudes of the world. That, Lord, you would spare all of us here from the deceptions that can so easily trip us up and snare us into the trap of the enemy to squander away years of our life in heartache and misery, especially for the young, unmarried people here in this room, that, God, you would give them such an unction from your Holy Spirit to truly trust you and wait for that gift that you have for them, the one that will endure, the one that will produce much fruit as they glorify you together as they walk through life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sweet home is heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face when we enter his kingdom. We'll be there by amazing grace. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Mock and scourge and nail him to the cross. Allowed himself to die for our sins. through God's power, He has risen again. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Now our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit is our living proof. He'll fill up our eyes that we may see. Jesus Christ has set us all free. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. When our life on earth is over, as we meet the Lord above, we'll see Him in all His glory. We'll be blessed by God's mighty love. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Our sweet home.
Amen. Let the world have Alabama. We're going to take heaven. Amen. And let's not abuse His grace, as His word says, but walk in the fear and love of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in His care this week.